Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the SMB Community Podcast. This is James Kernan with Kernan Consulting, and I am back with my colleague, Amy Babinchek. Hey, Amy, good morning.
Good morning, James. Great to see you.
Good to see you. Good to see you. Spring is in the air. Yeah. Excited. Everybody's out. Got the boat in last week and busy gardening, even planted more flowers this weekend. What have you been up to?
Same. I got my boat in the water. Let me tell you, in northern Michigan, it's not spring yet, though. Holy smokes. You know, down at the southern end of Michigan here, trees are in pretty close to full leaf, and spring is springing. There's flowers everywhere. Man, travel to the northern end of the lower peninsula, right? The northern end of that mitten, there is nothing. It is the buds are just happening. I mean, they're way behind, and it was cold. It was 39 degrees in the morning when I launched my boat. And we've already had 80 degree weather at home. So I was not as prepared as I should have been, but still boats in the water. It did get nicer. So by the time I got around to where we keep it in the summer, it was warmer on the east side of Michigan than the west side for some reason. And so we did that. And that was a great deal of fun. Stopped by Mackinac Island for a couple of days. And
oh, I love Mackinac Island. Love a Mackinac Island.
Yeah, it's on the way. Where I keep my boat's only 10 miles from there. So it was on the way back. And it was had a really nice first cruise. So that was quite enjoyable this weekend.
All right. Good for you. I love it. Love it. All right. Well, hey, it's been a busy week and we got a lot of stuff to talk about today. So I'm going to dive right into the agenda. And actually, the first thing I wanted to bring up was our question of the week. So the MSP question of the week, a question came in and it said, hey, is there a market to sell my small MSP practice? And this came from someone who's, you know, a one-man band, small MSP practice. And how would you respond to that, Amy? What are you seeing out there?
Well, yeah, I mean, when I first started to look at M&A, and by the way, we're going to have some kind of announcement and flashy thing, but I'll just let the cat out of the bag. Sell My MSP is 10 years old this year. So that means you've been doing this M&A thing for 10 years now, which time is fly. I was shocked when I was really shocked when that came up, and I was like, oh my God, it doesn't seem like that long at all. It feels like three or four, but it's a good thing. And the reason we started doing that is exactly because of the question you just asked. I saw too many small companies being told that they had no value, you know, just close the door, you know. So you're a one or two or three person shop and you didn't hit $1 million. And, you know, that seemed to be the cutoff for when anybody would want to even talk to you. And I said, that is ridiculous. These small firms are so easy to sell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I both talked to one recently, you know, one man shop, and, you know, just a few $100,000 in customers, but you can sell that for a couple $100,000. And why wouldn't you?
Right.
Why wouldn't you want some money in your pocket after running your business for 20 years? Don't close those doors. Sell it. Right. No, there's you deserve that as a business owner. You know, that should be part of your retirement plan, that you're going to run this business for some period of time, and then, you know, and then you'll liquidate, you'll cash out, somebody will pick up the ball and run with it from where you left off.
Yeah, I agree. I'm seeing the same thing. There's a lot of activity, and I think the smaller MSPs are just being educated that their business does have value. There's more and more interest. And one other thing I'll highlight is I've seen a big shift. You know, I've always been a fan of having kind of a dual growth strategy, you know, growth by acquisition, you know, focus on your marketing, attack your current customer base aggressively, market to prospects locally aggressively, look to hire salespeople. So you want to do everything you can to grow organically, but also keep an open mind and look for growth by acquisition. And there's always people looking to sell their book of business or, you know, some small, some big. But since COVID, marketing's gotten really, really hard. It's really expensive. More and more people that I work with that come to me frustrated, they've worked with one, two, three different marketing companies year over year. They've spent a fortune and they're not getting any results. So when you buy a book of business, it's a sure thing. And you know, people are really interested in that. And I'm shocked at what I'm finding. I see the last three sub, I'll just say 200 and, or I would say 300,000 and below of, you know, one man band annual revenue. Okay. Not talking about profits or adjusted earnings. I'm talking about just top line revenue. It's selling for around 1 to 1.5 multiple of top line revenue. And I've not seen that before. And normally the small ones are historically people weren't interested in that. But there's a big market right now. So if you're thinking about maybe selling, I think now's a great time because there's buyers lined up looking for businesses like yours. So
yeah. Yep. It's really easy to. So if you're the buyer, one of the advantages of collecting up these small books of business that you just described is that you don't have the culture clash issue to deal with when you buy a whole company.
Right.
You're just, you know, you're buying a book of business, you're going to get, say, 6 to 10 customers.
Yep.
That is really easy for any established MSP to wrap their head around and, you know, fold them in and get going with their profits and their system right away. Yep. So it's an easy, easy way to grow a business. And I think we see that too, that M&A used to be unusual. And, you know, not that many years ago, it was just wasn't happening as often as it should have been as a business strategy, like you just laid out. Now, I think it is becoming a standard way to strategize and grow your business. So if you haven't thought about it yet, do think about it. Do think about buying. Contact James, contact me, contact somebody. Let them know you're interested in looking for firms. And then, you know, when you're ready to sell, let us know. And, you know, either James or I are going to be able to hook you up with somebody almost immediately.
Yeah. Yep. Good point. Yeah. So yes, there is a market to sell. And regardless of your size, I certainly think it's a seller's market for sure right now. Mm-hmm. So yes, all day long. All right. So a couple other big things. Big news with the Berkshire Hathaway annual event. It was announced that Warren Buffett is stepping down as CEO of Berkshire Hathaway. Did you see the news on that?
I did. I immediately thought of you because I know he's the hometown hero there. And
right here in Nebraska.
Yeah, right there in Nebraska. And what a run he's had over his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is just such a great story. If you know, listeners, if you don't know his story of how he started that business, it's a really good one. And it, you know, his philosophy is still kind of unique. You know, he likes to own those companies that he invests in. And I think I follow his general philosophy a little bit. Clearly, I don't have enough money to own the companies I invest in, but you know, we can do what we can do, and you know, develop that buy and hold strategy of good solid companies, and they will grow over time, and so will you. And yeah, that's sort of the basis of who he really is. What an amazing company he grew.
Yeah, he's done an amazing job. And you talked about, you know, him providing leadership and what a run he had. Did you know that he's been in charge of Berkshire Hathaway for 60 years? 60.
Isn't that incredible?
It's incredible. And he's 94 years old.
So yeah.
Everybody knew he was up there. But when you hear 94, it's a long time not to retire. So
it sure is. It's not like he couldn't afford to. He just really, really enjoyed what he did. But he was not also a solo guy. He didn't run it as his personal empire. You know, this last 20 years, he has built out an incredible management group. And they've been doing those investments over the, you know, over those last 20 years. So I don't expect anything dramatic to change.
No. I agree. I mean, he's done an exceptional job of building a great team around him. So he's handing things over. It looks like he's staying on as chairman of the board, but the day-to-day operations is going to be handed over to it to be determined, but he's got a great team in place. So I think they're going to be stronger than ever. And here's a really cool statistic that's related to this topic. Did you know Omaha, Nebraska is, they've got more millionaires per capita than any other city its size. And one of the big reasons is Berkshire Hathaway. They've done such a great job. You know, they call them Berkshire babies. You know, a lot of people have made a lot of money over the years on Berkshire Hathaway. So that's, you know, it's interesting statistic for a city about a million people. So that's something fun.
That is. Yeah, you must have had some. If you were an early investor, you did make a lot of money from that, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So, hey, and some other interesting news. There was an AI trend survey that I had read, and we've talked a lot about AI and from soup to nuts. And just big picture, some statistics that really stood out to me is they interviewed, and this is kind of mid-sized to larger businesses. They interviewed the C-suite, and CIOs were polled, and it said, you know, how many of you are going to increase your spend in 2025 on AI tools? And 95% of the CIOs said, yes, we are. So we're spending more money on this. And another statistic, and we've talked a little bit about this too, it said 39% of those companies let employees go thinking that these AI tools are going to make others more productive or maybe even replace some of those employees. And then
isn't that a great example of buying into the hype cycle right there?
It bingo.
They jumped the gun on that one.
they sure did. And 55% of those same people regret it. So I thought that was funny that they did jump the gun and let go of staff.
Yeah. So the other 45% were afraid to admit that they regret it.
Because I think probably 99% do.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, AI will replace employees eventually. It's not going to replace anybody who's employed today, I don't think. You know, I think what we'll see is that businesses may hire slower in the future because they're implementing AI. And so, you know, it's maybe taking over some of those future positions as long as their current employees are training up, right?
Yeah.
If you're employed today, you've got a pretty steep learning curve to get yourself up with AI. And I would tell anybody to jump on that now and don't wait. Start learning it right now.
Yeah. And I tell you, Amy, the marketing side of my brain is really spinning after I read that article. And what I want to share with everybody is just look at, you know, from a sales and marketing perspective, our customers and our prospects, you know, we want to sell into the C-suite, and 95% of the C-suite is spending money on AI tools. And how are they getting trained on it? You know, they could get trained on it from you. And I think there's a big marketing opportunity, just like Amy said, get yourself and your staff trained up on the tools, not only to learn how to lock it down, because it does have some vulnerabilities and some security risk, and that's our responsibility, or opportunity for us to protect the data and learn how to do that and secure that for our customers, but also, you know, learn how to make your employees more productive and effective at what they do. You could show them one or two of these tools that are popping up every single day. And, you know, you guys play around with these and then show your customers. It would be a great marketing campaign, a great webinar to give, a great topic to talk about at your local Chamber of Commerce breakfast. You know, talk about AI.
Yeah, quick wins. I would focus in on the quick wins, right? Things that people can start doing with AI today that are just going to work and give them that positive experience. As we start off people with success, even if it's a small success of building a prompt library, so you remember what you did last time, or showing them, you know, how to use and how AI search is different than a traditional Google search, or that they may not already know how to do. Give them some quick wins of things that will add something to their job, make things a little bit easier, feel like they've mastered some little piece of what AI is. If you give people those quick wins, they'll be more interested in now learning things themselves. They'll have that confidence to go forward.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm, you know, big picture, you know, I've been in the channel for 3 decades and I've seen, you know, the ebbs and flows of different things, but I will just say, you know, for the traditional MSPs, especially the little guys, I'm genuinely concerned that of us just managing and maintaining people's desktops, you know, that's business has really been commoditized. Yeah. And you need to look for new things to wrap consulting services around. And I think AI is a great one. It's a great differentiator for you to separate you from your competition, but there's a lot of consulting dollars that you can wrap around once you get the hang of AI. I think that's a big thing that will help bring more consulting dollars, new revenue streams into your business. So I would encourage you to look at that.
I agree 100%. I think that managing, monitoring desktops, laptops is a dying business. And you do need new services to replace that with. And the future of the MSP is in consultant services. And that's a big leap for a lot of firms.
Yeah. Yep. Agree completely. Well, hey, and then Microsoft was in the news. There were some updates. Being a Microsoft MVP, Amy, I think I'll let you go and talk about this. But there were a couple things that were out there. That Windows 11 update.
Yep. Yeah. There's a couple really just little fun things. So the Windows 11 Start menu got an update, and it's finally a pretty nice one that I like. Right. Still in the middle. It still looks like it's looked like for Windows 11 style, but they've added my favorite thing, which is the jump list. So I can right click on an app that I've pinned and see the jump list of files that I used recently. That feature missing in Windows 11 was just driving me batty. So I'm glad it's back. And then they added a little extra panel down the side of it for phone link. So if you've connected your phone with your PC in order to do texting and calling and listen to your voicemails and whatnot, there's now a little panel for that running down the side of the Start menu, so you can easily see that information without having to start up the PhoneLink app to make that happen. So I like this menu upgrade that they did. And then the other thing is, and this is kind of a new feature deal, you know, might remember a month or two ago, Microsoft replaced the Microsoft 365 app and just renamed it Copilot, which I thought was weird. But now what they've done is that app has a built-in tool inside of it, which is going to preload some of the DLLs and system processes that the Office suite needs when it runs. And that, you know, the article that I'm sharing with you is called, you know, this, they called it like preload Word, but it's not just Word, it's the whole Office suite. So, but so all that off, all those Office suite apps, they're going to start up a whole lot faster because most of them are already kind of running in the background, waiting for you to actually launch which of the apps that you want to use. So that'll be a nice little startup kick. It means that, you know, Word, Excel, Outlook are just going to pop open instead of waiting for them to load up, which is nice.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool stuff. And then, hey, we got to talk a little bit more fun stuff. I love talking about fun stuff. Tell me about that new app we were chatting about.
Oh, yeah. So Instacart has a new app called Fizz. And it caught my eye because it said, you know, Instacart upgrades to appeal to Gen Z. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, you know, having your groceries delivered to your house isn't Gen Z enough? So apparently not. What we got now is this app called Fizz, and it's a party app. So say, like, you know, you and your friends are getting together for tailgate or just a, you know, informal drinks and munchies kind of party. This is what Fizz is for. So you can order alcohol and munchies, and they're delivered from your local store. But what's unique about this is that you just announce you're having a get-together, and you invite people in the app. And then each person in the app can order what they want. And everybody sees what the order is. So they see all the drinks people have ordered, the munchies people have ordered. And then when the host is just before the party, the host hits buy and deliver. And each, whatever it is you wanted, James, you know, your favorite beer and your favorite munchie, you get billed for that, and it gets shipped to the party when the host hits buy, you know, the hour before or whatever. So a fun way to get together, share expenses. It's kind of a neat little fun new app. And I don't think that fun has anything to do with Gen Z. I think we all want to have fun.
Exactly. Yeah. I love fun apps like that. So it's called Fizz. Is it two Z's or one Z?
Two Z's.
Two Z's. So F-I-Z-Z.
Yep.
I like it. So for you procrastinators out there, like 98% of us, you know, instead of rushing to the grocery store on the way to a party and trying to pick up something, the first thing you see on the sale rack, you can order and plan ahead. I love that. And then have it shipped and delivered ahead of time.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So, you know, next time you're getting people out on the boat, James, you can fire up that Fizz app and have them bring the summer White Claw or whatever.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah, we love to entertain all the time, so I'll have to share the app with people. The more the merrier.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, good stuff. Well, I think that's about it for us today. So I think that's a wrap. We ran out of things to talk about today. So, Amy, I'll catch up with you next time. And for those of you out there, if you've got great app ideas or you've got a question of the week, please reach out to us. I'd love to hear from you. James@kernanconsulting.com. Just email, reach out anytime. And we'd love to banter back and forth on what you have to say. All right. Take care, everybody. Until next time. Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.